Hi, my name is Chris, and I have a new life in Christ. I am recovering from fear of inadequacy, low self-worth, and past sexual abuse.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, everybody. Please pray with me. Father, thank you just for your amazing, amazing love, your love that pursues us, your love that wraps around us and changes us from the inside out, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, that your spirit would speak through my mouth, that these words would be yours, and that they would land on hearts that need to hear something from this message. Father, would you bless this this time and give me the courage to do this, because this is kind of scary. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in rough circumstances with my mother and younger sister as we lived all over California. As my mother regularly jumped in and out of dating relationships, a healthy marriage was now modeled for me. There was no spiritual influence in the home, and I did not have an earthly father or any male leadership. He left before I was born, so I never had a dad to encourage, guide, and protect me growing up. Over the years and into high school, there would be many incidents of emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. The people who were supposed to protect me would betray trust and take what they wanted. Those who professed to love me wanted something for it. I could never understand how or why I was such a target. Life repeatedly enforced the lie that I had little worth and deserved to be abandoned, used, and/or rejected by everyone. I believed the lies that my existence was unplanned, unwanted, and worthless, and as a result, shame and insecurity followed me around like a shadow. After high school graduation, I enlisted into the Army and was stationed in Texas. After completing my enlistment, I moved to Dallas and started my career in information technology. I dated a lot, living out a lot of what I had seen at home growing up and searching for acceptance and love. I met my first wife online, and we moved in together not long after we met. My battle with self-worth and disgust for the person in the mirror continued to worsen as the years, mistakes, and sins passed by. So it's not surprising that the marriage was unfulfilling for both of us and ended with divorce in early 2010. Please know that divorce is destructive and is not part of God's plan for a covenantal, lifelong marriage. His word reveals that forgiveness, humility, and reconciliation are what he desires from a husband and wife rather than hard-heartedness. When my first marriage ended after 6 years, I immediately sought comfort by dating and jumping into new unhealthy relationships. I could not stand to be alone and found my significance in the affirmation of others. My lack of confidence led to passivity. I was clueless about manhood and what it meant to stand for anything, especially myself. A good income afforded me the opportunity to know my pain through purchasing whatever I wanted whenever I wanted it. Yet the pain and feelings of despair never went away. In my mind, I thought there would somehow be a fulfillment if someone in traffic admired what I was driving or riding. I thought there would be somehow the cars I bought and owned just to get the approval of those I would never even meet failed to bring me joy. Solomon speaks about this in Ecclesiastes 2:10 through 11. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Like so many other purchases before it, the Blu-ray player I bought 1 year did not change my life as I foolishly believed and hoped it would. I hated the person looking back at me in the mirror. God began to start working to get my attention with a near-fatal car accident. My eyes were open, but it didn't take long for them to close again and for my attention to move back to my own foolish pursuits. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly." In my pursuit of attention and approval, I bought expensive clothes, regularly purchased cars and motorcycles, and anything else I thought would impress others and fill the void in my heart. In September 2012, a friend invited me to check out Watermark. While the first visit didn't appeal to me, I came back the next weekend and was hooked. I gravitated toward the acceptance and sincere friendships that quickly developed. I jumped into nearly every Bible study that was offered to learn about this God I kept hearing about. Through mutual friends, I soon met and began dating a woman who is different than anyone I had met before. Regrettably, my motives were not entirely genuine. Because of my emotional state, codependency, and struggles, I was not in a place for an actual relationship. What I needed to do was take time off to work on myself, heal, and mature. However, I believed this woman was going to change everything, and I could not let her get away. I never let her or anyone else know about the real me or the depravity in my mind and the sinful behavior I was engaged in regularly. Instead, I found that the story of my abusive childhood, along with the confession of acceptable sins, served as a great smokescreen to the slavery I fought to keep hidden. I habitually lied to deny any desire or use of pornography. When asked by my now wife or other men, my rehearsed reply was, "No, porn isn't an issue for me." And then I would bring up the actual issues that consume me, such as getting angry in traffic. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." To be clear, the things I confessed were not lies. However, by denying or simply not sharing about my regular lust, full use of pornography, and the self-gratification that accompanied it, I became a slave and lied to everyone, including myself. Time after time, I assured myself that I could stop whenever I wanted to. Time after time, I assured myself this was the last time. But in reality, my secret pet sin had been well-fed and had grown into a raging lion that continuously devoured me. I knew it was wrong as I had studied God's word and hypocritically admonished and counseled other men about the same behaviors. My role in the church had grown from visitor to participant and to leader. I was regularly walking with and serving men as they walked through their own recovery. Paul writes in Titus 1:16, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." I did not know God and was hiding in the church. I did not have a relationship with Christ, and my hidden rebellion proved how disobedient and unfit I truly was. My fear of confession was greater than the possibility of an eternity separated from my Creator. My charade continued as I memorized Scripture and devoted myself to becoming a smarter sinner. But as we see him do throughout Scripture, God pursued me. He kept poking me, and the Spirit convicted me through the bold confession of others. The guilt and shame of my addiction, the deceit and lies and betrayal against my wife weighed heavily on me. Psalm 32:3 through 4 says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. I was tired and weary from maintaining my deceit and burdened by my sin. Desperately, I wanted the rest that Jesus promises in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God finally captured my heart when I attended a Regeneration Leaders Retreat in 2016. There I met with another leader, confessed my hidden sin, and promised to confess to my wife in the coming days. As I moved forward in trusting Christ, not only in belief but also in action, I shared everything with my wife. My addiction to pornography, lust of women and material possessions, and the lies covering up my depravity. It was in that moment that I finally experienced new freedom from the grip of hidden sin, and grace washed over me. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I now had a new life in Christ. My sins were confessed and forgiven by the Lord. I was thankful for this incredible new freedom and spiritual celebration in my life. God loved me so much that even in my filthiest and unlovable condition, he sent his son, Jesus, to die for my sins. Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice ensured that my eternal salvation had been secured. In his goodness, the Lord removed the wicked desires that had enslaved me for years. My heart was heavy with brokenness and sorrow as I grieved over the reality of my transgressions and mourned the pain I caused my wife. Tremendous hurt was caused by my actions, and there needed to be appropriate consequences for my sin. The next night, I confessed to region leadership and stepped down from my role in groundwork and started attending as a participant. Again, I was met with forgiveness and grace. My confession removed the heavy backpack I'd been carrying for several years. No longer burdened with the exhaustion from hiding destructive sin, I was free to breathe and move forward in recovery. Because my focus needed to shift toward recovery, I changed how and where I spent my time. My social media accounts were either deleted or locked, and accountability software was installed on my phone and computer to help keep me from stumbling back to pornography. The time that I would be alone was planned out and shared with others for accountability. There were ongoing questions about what I had done, and I needed to remain humble in providing answers to them. As my recovery began, I moved from groundwork and into my closed group. For me, steps 2, believe, and 3, trust, were pivotal to beginning this journey. Nearly every morning started quietly at the dining room table with my Bible and step book open as I worked and listened for God's voice. My perspective of the world around me started to change as God quietly began to replace the stone heart, my stone heart, just as it says in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new heart in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I had thought about my sin before, but nothing to the extent of creating a step 4 inventory. My inventory contained the deepest and darkest secrets that I had previously planned to take with me to the grave. However, in step 5, confession, God used this confession of my inventory to shine a healing light on my worst depravity. The Lord moved into my heart and removed the guilt and shame I had been carrying. Satan could no longer accuse me of anything, as I had already accused myself of everything. And I was washed. By the blood of Christ. Working the steps can be challenging. And sitting in the mess you created as you wait for God to change your heart can be difficult. But trust that He is doing a mighty work in you. This trial will be a blessing. My region mentor introduced me to an amazing expression regarding conflict. Move toward the awkwardness. God has greatly increased my courage and desire to lovingly move toward another to begin the process of resolving a conflict. This has been so helpful in moving toward others to own my part in order to preserve a relationship. Nearly 3 years ago, on April 18, 2016, I became a new creation in Christ as I believed my Lord and Savior for the very first time. Nearly 3 years ago, I confessed, repented, and turned away from the hidden sin that had kept me in shackles for decades. At that moment, I received a gift of grace and salvation that our Creator offers to us all. Paul writes in Titus 3:4-5, But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Before Region, I could never understand why it was so incredibly difficult for me to share the gospel or the hope I have in Christ with others. But looking back, the reason was obvious. I could not share my faith because I didn't have a faith to share. But now, as I have seen God work and transform my heart and my life, I'm excited to share this story of grace with you and others. In Celine, the Lord gave to me a gift second only to my salvation in Christ. And it was during our honeymoon that my bride and I both discovered how my Childhood sexual abuse was now affecting me. We joined together in prayer to petition the Lord to give us the gift of intimacy he designed for marriage. In the first part of 2014, I attended MEND at Watermark Dallas. MEND is a healing ministry and step study for men who have experienced sexual abuse. For the first time in my life, I began working through my sexually abusive past. The Lord has been faithful to show me that the abuse was not my fault and that it doesn't define who I am. My identity is in Christ, and in him I have a perfect Heavenly Father. Through MEND, I have seen how God can use something bad for good. Joseph tells us in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended." But God intended it for good to accomplish the saving of many lives. Prior to starting my journey through recovery and regeneration, my wife only thought she knew who she was married to. Now my wife knows fully who her husband is. We have experienced a merciful restoration in our marriage. In October 2017, we celebrated our fourth anniversary with a renewal of our wedding vows. We entered into a new covenant between two followers of Christ as husband and wife. This one in which Celine knows who she is married to and myself as a believer and follower of Christ. All right, spoiler alert. Completing Regen didn't make me perfect and sinless. However, the difference now is when I sin, I move toward confession and reconciliation of the relationship. As a selfish sinner I am, there are regular opportunities to move toward the awkwardness that I have caused in that relationship. Celine and I have been able to serve together and re-engage where we have walked with other couples and shared our story of God's incredible redemption and restoration. God has used my story of confession and forgiveness to reach other men and to continue growing my relationship with him. Just a few years ago, I was at such a lack of confidence that it was absolutely intimidating to stand or even be around a group of other men. God has shown me and continues to challenge and strengthen me that he declares my manhood and true identity comes from him and what he has done. Now I am at peace to not just stand with men, but to challenge, encourage, and sharpen as directed by the Holy Spirit. During this 3-year walk with the Lord, my heart is still being transformed and my mind continues to be renewed. While I still do wrong and sin on a daily basis, I know that he still loves me and sees me as fearfully and wonderfully made. I am his adopted son. The Lord has spent these last 3 years showing me that he is the only father I need. I can find fulfillment through his grace and presence. I have become a completely different man than I was before, and I am truly thankful. Each day I have the opportunity and responsibility to show Christ to my wife and daughter in the way I love, pursue, and serve them. If there's one thing you remember or learn tonight from this testimony, may it be that God is in the business of restoration. No matter what you have done or what others have done to you, God wants to work in you to heal the wounds, silence the lies, and redirect your hearts to his perfect peace. Whatever the burden you are carrying, come to him and he will give you rest. The creator of our universe wants to have a personal relationship with you. My name is Chris and I have a new life in Christ. Because of his unfailing love for me, I am chosen, redeemed, and my past does not define me. I'm so thankful for his continued pursuit of my heart over these years. Thank you.